That's okay.
Let me say this. The people of Baton Rouge, do smell bad.
Well, it happens when you're in 100% humidity, my friend. It happens.
Well, and that's an Ole Miss. That started with Ole Miss. They said, Ole Miss people fucking smell bad. What do you think of that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are here with the heel commentator, Stephen Anthony. He does say stuff that's controversial, much like Eric Bischoff. That's what happens every single week here. You see, I'm the face. I'm the plucky baby face. You are the heel. That's what happens on this show. If you don't understand the characters, I don't even know. You see, we're keeping kayfabe alive here on the program. This is part of the cast. Yes, what?
Well, I have to apologize to a lot of women this week. I called bitches last week.
Well, you apologize to... I have to apologize to a lot of women on your behalf.
Oh, really? No.
You are being the heel. I mean, you talk about... I thought we were going to have this conversation offline, and I was thinking to myself, wow, Stephen, you're just crazy.
Yeah, every week could get a little worse. So I apologize to Peyton Royce and my wife and Carmella and those Japanese strippers. I mean, I don't have to apologize to them. They're fucking strippers.
So did you get called out this week?
No, that doesn't happen. I mean, Terry understands that I'm playing a character on the show.
You see, don't say that. You're this
kayfabe. Kayfabe. Fucking bitch doesn't know me.
We're keeping kayfabe.
That's why we're
kayfabe alive here on Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly show for news and commentary from the world of professional wrestling. We're going to be getting into the news. We're going to get into the wrestler of the week, the brand new segment, and the promo of the week with a legendary promo from Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's not forget, ProWrestlingCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things wrestling, the WWE Network signups. If you haven't signed up for WWE Network, why are you listening to this program? You need to go ahead and do that, and you can do it there by clicking on our banner. You can also check out WWE Shop and click on our links there. Now, when you do that, you'll be able to get transported to the WWE Shop website. And then the WWE gives us a little bit of commission for everything you buy there. T-shirt sales every single day. So don't go to the venue and go to the show. But go ahead and buy stuff for your entire family there using our link, because you can save $5 off $35 or more and use our special code. And sometimes it's buy one, get one free. We recently had a field day with like $5 T-shirts. Can you believe it? So if you missed out on your WrestleMania T-shirts, they're selling gear from WrestleMania for only $5. It was crazy.
Wow.
So always, every day, every single day, check our website. Click the link to WWE Shop and save unlike anything you've ever seen before. Last but not least, check out Amazon.com. Amazon.com really does help out our program. And when you shop every day and you shop online, like this yesterday, I bought some cleaner for the carpet. And you know what? I can click on our link. And every time you buy something from our Amazon.com link or use our search engine, every single time you do that, Amazon kicks us a little bit of commission so that we can continue to pay for this show for free every single week. We also like to thank our good friends at We Be Geeks Podcast, We Be Geeks Network, where our web show podcast, I should say, is being hosted. We do appreciate them for their help as well. In the meantime, once again, your one-stop shop for all things Pro Wrestling Cast and our archive of shows and YouTube webcast, our audio podcast there at ProWrestlingCast.com. And now, on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Yeah. you know, this Will Ospreay match is causing a huge commotion. And of course, we've checked into this show, into this this match, and it's pretty awesome. We're going to get into that. We've got a wrestler of the week who you're going to smarten us up to. We've also got the wrestling week in wrestling news, which we have a lot of different news. And of course, our Pro Wrestling Cast promo of the week. It is a hallmark of our program featuring the legendary WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin. How was your week, Steven? Good? You've been doing all right?
Yeah, I think I'm a little overworked, but that's usually the way to do it around here, you know. Yeah. Idle hands, blah blah blah. But I haven't been enjoying WWE's product, but I am anxious to see this. You know, once we get to this split, you know, things will become interesting again. And you know, there's lots of interest. You know, the thing about pro wrestling is there's always some interesting pro wrestling happening all around the world.
That's true. So we're going to smarten everybody up to that. You see, all of a sudden, we're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm using his vernacular. He talks about smartening people up all the time.
Yes.
But let's go ahead and log into our brand new segment, the Wrestler of the Week. Wrestler of the Week.
We'd like to make Will Ospreay the Wrestler of the Week, mostly to make Vader and Jim Cornette upset, because they're, you know, this guy's been coming up for a long time, actually, even at his young age. I think he's 23. I think he said he was 21 before. He's 23. So now he's won the tournament, and, you know, he's beaten Taguchi. He's had the incredible match with Ricochet. The tournament was booked perfectly. The Ricochet Ospreay match is for free, even if you don't subscribe to it, to New Japan World.
And we're referring to the Super J Cup tournament.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, we're talking about the Super J Cup tournament. You know, I feel like he's been getting a lot of really, you know, negative publicity and positive publicity. So, you know, I don't really see the difference, quite honestly.
Publicity is publicity in his case.
Right. And everybody's talking about it. And, you know, and the important thing is that everyone's talking about it. And when you have a guy, you know, when you have a guy that other wrestlers are angry about because they're doing something that they view as, you know, not awesome anymore, because this was what wrestling was, and this isn't awesome because this is too new. You know, I think about a guy like Rey Mysterio, you know, who was doing a lot of this type of maneuvering, and people were getting aggressive feedback. The young people liked it, and the old timers thought it was too obvious, that it was choreographed. And I've felt the same way about Ring of Honor a lot of times in more recent years. I guess I like things a little bit more snug, but this guy doesn't really fall into that category of a flippy guy. His flips are better than anyone's, actually, which is astounding because Ricochet is the best flippy guy I thought we had in the world. But his psychology and his selling are something that are actually very high. His selling is really, really good, to the point people say, well, he's overselling. I think people just need to maybe just stop talking about it. You know,
everybody has their opinion, you know.
Right. It's really just, but they didn't watch the match. There's a GIF on the internet of a spot that happens about 45 seconds into the Ricochet Ospreay match where they do I don't know how to explain it. It's very impressive.
There are so many high spots in the match, and I've seen this match, and you can seek it out online, yeah. And it's free to watch. It's not very long. I think it's like, you know, 17 minutes long or something like that. And yeah. I will say the Will Ospreay Ricochet match is just very smooth. I mean, it's smooth. The transitions are crazy, and they're very light on their feet. I think the criticism comes especially from, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, whom we're going to talk about later in the match, or later in the show. later in the match, he comes in and then just totally breaks shit up. You know, but that's crazy. How about that? But he had mentioned, you know, just slow down just a tad, and of course all that, you know, be a little bit more impactful. I mean, I tend to agree with him. I mean, he liked the match. He gives it a thumbs up.
Right.
I think a lot, you know, a lot of people like it. You know, it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but and he and I both agree on this, and I think you will too, the fact that he is just an amazing athletic person, you know, just an amazing, I mean, you know, some people say worker, whatever the case is, he's just very athletic. And, I personally, and you and I hadn't even talked about the match, offline, but I personally liked it. I think that a lot of it did look like ballet, like Stone Cold had said. But in the psychology, I agree to a certain extent. You know, everybody has their own way of doing things, but I think that this match definitely deserves to be up there in terms of like best wrestling matches of this year, and maybe over the past, you know, 3-5 years, maybe.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I thought this, like, I'm half awake still, first of all. The Taguchi match, the psychology of it was that he got grounded early and he couldn't do flips. Mm-hmm. And that match ended up being great. And by the way, it wasn't the Super J Cup. That's actually coming in a month.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I made that mistake again. It was Best of the Super Juniors, and they're very close in proximity. Oh, yeah. And the Super J Cup is returning to kind of combat the Cruiserweight WWE tournament. Not combat it directly, but it's all awful suspicious.
See, this is what happens when we fly off the cuff here. So
it's okay. I mean, they're so close, and the Super J Super Junior. It's so close. Anyway, I didn't want this to be factually incorrect.
Oh no! There it is. I see it. I see it now. Best of the Super Juniors. For some reason, when I was looking this up, I was like, Super J Cup. What?
Well, they haven't had it in quite a while. The Super J Cup, and that's why I know they're fucking with Vince McMahon, you know, to try to put it back out there. Anyway, the Taguchi match was not as fantastical, but just as effective. You know, Ospreay, I'd been hearing about him in Rev Pro, and I caught a match with him and Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll will be the next Will Ospreay. I don't know who will sign him or when or how, but he's amazing. Now, if I were booking the WWE Cruiserweight Tournament, I would book Marty Scurll to win it. That's just an off-the-cuff comment. Or Zack Sabre Jr., who's there too. But that was their big three: Ospreay, Zach, Marty. And they kind of made big waves on the underground, you know, as they went along. And here we are, Will Ospreay, everybody's talking about him. Again, I have to give it up to my man, Gato, Kenny Omega, Naito, and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega.
Twice.
And Kenny Omega 2, who's really good.
Kenny Omega. He's the mask Kenny Omega.
Right.
Kenny Alpha. Now you have the Kenny Alpha and the Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, Naito, when you lose AJ, Nakamura, and the tag team. Pretty impressive booking.
Yeah, it is impressive. And not bad for just a mere 23-year-old to make a name for himself. A huge splash in this business, you know, starting in the UK. He's originally from Essex, England, as you mentioned. And, you know, it just had moved on. And he was going up against all kinds of people, including people like Daniels and Kazarian. You know, Chris Sabin, as you mentioned, Rocky Romero, you know, people, your favorite Rocky Romero from Roppongi Vice.
Well, some guys are tag wrestlers. They just throw in to kind of have bodies. Not that Rocky's that, but he kind of.
Right. But it's funny. Earlier this year, you talked about specifically, if you listen back to the show, about Dixie Carter being urged by her TNA fans about signing Will Ospreay, and they actually took him on the road, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm with New Japan, yay.
Well, what happened was they put him in a fantastic 5-minute job match with Mandrews. So that's good booking. That's good. 5-minute match in England with Mandrews. Mm. Who sucks in TNA, yet you go see him in PWG or Evolve and he's the shit. That's how bad TNA is. Mm. They fucked that up. But you know what? They get angry when anything happens to them. And they got mad that Ospreay had signed with New Japan. So they wanted to get Ospreay, AJ, Bullet Club, blah, 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 right? And then they lost AJ and them to WWE, and they lost Ospreay to Japan because they can't win because they're losers.
Well, our wrestler of the week.
Do you want TNA to be the one to book Will Ospreay in 2016, guys? That's the question I pose to the audience. Yeah, do you want TNA to book this guy, or do you want Gato?
Yeah. Do you want him to show up on your TV? What TV would you much rather have him on? And I for one would much rather want to see him on New Japan. I'll be honest.
And now he can fight Kushida for the belt and possibly win it. But he's such a clever booker. I don't know. See, because he's good at booking. But if he wins it, it's like, all right, well, Osprey, all this momentum. If he loses, he's like, oh, he lost twice, but he won't lose if he goes in a third time. Maybe he'll win the Super J Cup. See, you set it up like building blocks. He's old school, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It's all good. It's all good. So, oh, by the way, we should probably talk about that New Japan show that's coming up, man. That's going to be pretty cool.
Well, the thing that sucks is Tanahashi is hurt, and Michael Elgin is going to take his spot in the ladder match. Tanahashi must be really fucking hurt if he's not going to compete in this.
True.
So he won one of the Father of the Year awards. I saw on Twitter, kind of like Titus O'Neil does in Japan. So that's great. But he's got his arm in a sling and he's hurt. So I was really looking forward to that ladder match, Kenny Omega, Tanahashi. So we're gonna get Omega Elgin, which quite frankly I've already seen. It's okay. And then Naito will defend his title against Okada. And man, I'd keep the belt on Naito for a long time if I were them. I don't think they'll switch it back, but again, I don't know because they book so good. And Kushida Osprey. So some really and Yuji Nagata defending his title too. So, excuse me, a lot of really strong stuff there. But luckily, they had a really strong card booked before, basically before the Tanahashi thing was revealed. Tanahashi's been hurt for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting to the point where, you know, the guy's arm's going to fall off, man. You know, you've got to take the time.
You know what we may want to do is we may actually want to do like a primer on New Japan. That would be really cool because Kushida is actually one of my favorite wrestlers too, just because he's got, you know, and the first thing I thought about when I saw Kushida was his tribute to Back to the Future, which I really dug, you know.
Well, that was odd.
You know, so for one, I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, he's a sci-fi geek. He likes Back to the Future and he has a whole Marty McFly cosplay when he walks into the ring. And then you look at him and it's like, wow, this guy's badass.
He is badass.
Yeah. So anyway, once again, I hope you enjoyed our new segment. Stephen, thank you so much for smartening people up to Will Ospreay.
Well, I'm just glad he's gotten so far, you know, in such a limited amount of time, you know, I'm really happy for him, and he went with the right company, and he's going to be huge one day in America too. So.
For sure. One to watch. And now it's time for our Week in Wrestling News.
This Week in Wrestling News.
Steven, I think maybe the first thing we need to get out of the way is talking about NXT's Takeover The End. There are a lot of great comments regarding Triple H. I didn't know if we were going to be able to do a show for this week. I was going to do like a Triple H special and feature audio from Triple H. But did you listen to Triple H's post show Facebook Live interview?
I didn't listen to it live, but I did hear what he said about La Sombra's new gear and his white outfit with the hat and the suspenders.
I kind of dig it, man. That's pimping.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't help but when he walked by me thinking, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know you were going to wear that. But
did you think he was going to Cien Almas would, or AKA La Sombra, you thought he was going to wear the Lucha mask? Because every promo that he had actually was taking off the mask.
I think he's a good looking guy, and he already lost his mask in Mexico, so he can't put the mask back on. If we're talking about tradition, he should not put the mask back on, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's a great looking guy, and he's very close with Nakamura because Nakamura did some really great tours in CMLL, and he would, you know, and that's where the Los Ingobernables and all that stuff sort of, I think they sort of saw that over there too, Naito, and got his idea to do it in Japan. So that close relationship, and they're actually doing tag matches, Nakamura and La Sombra. I'm not going to be able to not say La Sombra. It's going to just be really hard. My point is he's a good looking guy, and he probably should ditch the suspenders. But he can be pushed the right way. I do notice the NXT crowd is really having not a really good reaction to him yet. I thought it was some backlash about Ty Dillinger. I thought it was very silly. I'm jumping right into the card here to do a 5-minute match. I know they only have 2 hours, but for Ty to job in 5 minutes was insulting to the crowd, and I don't think they appreciated it. And I think it hurt LaSombra's heat. And then when they did tapings, he had some more negative heat where I hear they chanted Ty Dillinger at him. And I think Ty did another job.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not doing themselves any favors, especially with a guy as over in NXT as Ty Dillinger, you know. But I think they're gonna work a good program. They have to be very smart. You know, the thing that is really getting to me, Steven, is the NXT crowd just really, and it was very evident in TakeOver that they are just relentless. They're just hijacking the show.
Well, what will they do with a whole different roster?
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably what they're going to get.
Yeah.
No Balor, Nakamura, Samoa Joe,
Bailey,
and all those guys, and American Alpha and Revival, maybe even. Who knows? I know that American Alpha is going up because Vince called up and said American Alpha loses, which is odd for him to make any sort of booking decision with NXT because he doesn't. But that obviously means like, hey, they're definitely coming up for the draft.
Mm-hmm. That leads us into another interesting situation, but just really quick. Ty Dillinger, Cien Almas, we'll see what happens there. I forgot how we called this match. Did we booked Andre Almas to win, right? Andrade, right?
I mean, I knew he would win. It's his debut. But again, using Dillinger like this is going to turn the crowd. You have to actually push. If you're going to do this thing, push Dillinger. I mean, the crowd wants what they want. You might as well do that correctly with at least one of the shows.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to have someone come up, I mean, if you're going to have a 5-minute match, put him against someone that's new and upcoming that you don't want to protect. You know, that's not that big deal. You know, the NXT crowd would have had a lot to, and I understand people have to earn their spot, but if they're, I mean, you have to look at who needs to do the job to an up and coming superstar on a huge special. I think that was just bad booking on their part. Don't put him up against Ty Dillinger. But
5 minutes short.
Speaking of which, Phillips had mentioned on the commentary that Triple H was the father of NXT. I just thought you might want to mention.
Fucking creepy, you know.
Speaking of father,
I can't say that anymore, you know.
So American Alpha versus the Revival, huge match, and. I don't necessarily think that this match was as good as the one that we witnessed in Nashville. Did you?
It was pretty similar, wasn't it?
It was very similar. It was badass. Don't get me wrong. If I didn't see the one in Nashville, and maybe it's just because our energy was amped up, but in nearly 16 minutes for the Revival to recapture the NXT tag team titles, it was a pretty insane match. And you scored it pretty high on your star listing.
I gave it 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I give things 4 stars if I mark out. So this was 4 stars, and I thought it was 4 stars at the house show. Although at the house show, I thought, this can't be a 4-star match at a house show. But then I saw a similar match with a different finish on the TakeOver, and I thought it was a 4-star match. And then I saw other people say it was 4 stars. So I guess they do a 4-star match at a house show. Who fucking knew?
I tell you what, man, they were pedal to the metal.
They're great. They are all great. Dash Dawson, great. I was made a believer. I didn't like their name, and I thought they were kind of boring looking. They're actually really, really strong. This was a good match. And, you know, the Revival, if you think about it, they're the perfect tag team to be tag team champions for NXT. And are they ready for the main roster? Probably not, but you could definitely insert them in. I mean, to me, you could put Dash and Dawson in the spot of the Bullet Club or whatever the fuck you call them with AJ Styles, and it would be just the exact same thing.
After the match concluded, Fever Pitch, everybody was crazy. You know, we had a couple guys that looked like the Samoan SWAT team come in.
Right. I thought that too. It was like, oh shit, it's the Samoan SWAT team. I can't believe it. We were right. Yeah.
And then come to find out everybody in the arena was chanting, who are you? Who are you? And WWE Hall of Famer Paul Ellering shows up, and it's like, hey, you remember that guy that used to be with Hawk and Animal? Remember that guy back in the day? Yeah, that's Paul Ellering.
I hope they weren't chanting that at him. I think they were chanting at the
those guys. Yeah.
The Gorillas of Destiny ripoff looking team. But
yeah, I don't yeah.
What are they called? The Sons of Anarchy?
I don't know what they're called. Something like that. Sons of something.
Wait. It's something to do with violence.
It's like I'll have to.
Flowers of Violence.
The Flowers of Violence.
I hope they weren't chanting that at Ellering because, you know, yeah, I'll tell you who Ellering is. You know, he was a great wrestler who busted his knee bad to where he couldn't really perform anymore. Then he was legitimate shoot manager of the Road Warriors, meaning he got the plane tickets and got them on the plane and showed them how to invest money. I'm talking in real life. Mm-hmm. The Warriors were huge. He went on to do many other things. He's a great dad. His daughter's a great wrestler for NXT. And he does the Iditarod with the dog, you know, the dog racing stuff. He's done that.
Authors of Pain.
Flowers of Destruction, right?
Well, the Authors of Pain is the name of the tag team that Paul is going to be representing. It's Sonny Dincha and Ghazim Salmani.
I mean, I think they could be really good, actually. I don't have a problem with them. Everyone's like, I can't believe this. Well, geez, Louise, this is the training show. They'll put them over strong. They're big guys, and we'll see what happens. They do look like the Samoan SWAT team.
Well, they look like they're far from Samoan. They look Middle Eastern, but I did say that. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, I didn't know. Hell, they came in literally. I blinked, and it's like, who are these guys? And then they come in, they pummel American Alpha, folded them in half, and then all of a sudden Paul Ellering shows up, and I'm like, these are the new Road Warriors. What?
They're not the Road Warriors.
No, they're not the Road Warriors
because they don't allegedly do enough things at night. But
okay.
but I mean, not ethnically, but their similarities in the wrestling sense are very similar to the Samoan SWAT team. They're the way they jump people, the manager, the look of it. They just remind me. I mean, it's funny because we were talking about them way too much a couple of weeks ago. Way more than normal. How about that?
Well, I love the that's why I love the Samoan SWAT machine. I mean, hello. Mm-hmm. Backstage, Asuka is warming up. Bayley stops in and shakes her hand. And of course, everybody gets their whole, hey, we want some Bayley chant out of the way. And then here comes actually a pretty badass thing happening. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Austin Aries. So what did you think about this particular match?
Okay, I have a lot to say about this match.
Yes, tell me all about it.
Some people were like, why wasn't this a 5-star match? Well, look, Shinsuke Nakamura wrestles totally different in NXT than he does in New Japan.
Yes.
And what Shinsuke has is a very broad match with several moves, transitions, silly comedy spots, snug spots. And he allows the wrestler to do his match within the parameters of that. And that's what they did with Austin Aries. He sold a lot for him. He's the best seller in the world, bro. We were talking about that last week. And Austin did his stuff. It was a 4-star match. If Nakamura wanted to do a 5-star match on NXT TakeOver, he would have done it. But he wasn't told to do that. He was told to probably do a really good middle of the card 4-star match. That's exactly what he gave them.
You just wait. Just wait. Look, things, you know, Nakamura is going to be like a bowl of gumbo, right? You know,
also
just wait for it to cook a little bit longer, you know, slow cook. And then all of a sudden it's going to be bam. All the ingredients are going to come into play and then he'll have his 5-star match. It's going to be it probably the biggest stages you can get. And you're going to be like, wow, this is going to be the biggest jumping point for this superstar ever. And in the meantime, he's going to work within the parameters of the show, within the parameters of the story, the overarching story that they're trying to tell on the show. And he's not going to try to outshine the main event. He knows where his place is. Yes.
He tried as hard as he could to not outshine the main event for them because he's polite.
Yes. And the same goes for, Austin Aries. I mean, I've seen Austin Aries wrestle better too. And I don't think that it's a matter of, some people had been criticizing the match saying, well, maybe they just don't have chemistry. I'm like, I think they do have chemistry. I actually think they do.
It's just people that don't understand what they're watching. Yeah. I'm not going to say IWC anymore because if you think about it, everybody's in the IWC. But I think wrestling fans these days just think they're too smart. And like, this should have been five stars. Why should it have been five stars? If you knew what Nakamura was capable of, you knew that he was allowing Austin Aries to do a match within his, you know, I called it white boy match, which is not a match where you could get a concussion. It's a very standard Nakamura match, which is still four stars and better than a which is still better than a Samoa Joe Finn Balor match. You know, that's just the way it is. But you know, it depends on what you've actually seen. Have you seen Will Ospreay do a match? Have you seen Shinsuke do a match in Japan? Have you seen his older matches? These are all things that people need to ask themselves, because we're supposed to watch these matches to enjoy them and not to, you know, make criticisms. So, I mean, you want more than a four-star match for the third match of the card? I mean, what the hell do you think this is?
Well, I think what's really interesting is a lot of people will say that as they watch match by match, I think they oftentimes forget that in a running order of a card, of a program, of a TV show, that things are set to be paced in a certain way.
Right.
Much like the way albums were recorded back in the day, because you and I are both musicians. And if you're just listening to Pro Wrestling Cast for the first time, you know, Steven and I have a tremendous decades upon decades of experience in the music industry. So you'll know that if the guitars in the background didn't actually tell you that story, but there is a certain pacing with within a, in other words, the matches don't exist in a vacuum. The matches are part of an overall story of what the of what the card should be laid out, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, again, this guy can do a five-star match if he wants. He can, they said do a 4.75-star match with Sami Zayn. I'm sorry, they said did a 4.5-star. They didn't literally say it, but they kind of implied it. 4.5-star match with Sami Zayn in the middle of the card, he does it. They don't want him to have a five-star match because Okada Tanahashi's coming up at Wrestle Kingdom, so he does a 4.75-star match instead of AJ Styles. He's that smart.
Shinsuke Nakamura wins in 1726, and pretty badass match in my guesstimation. I look at that match and I think to myself, you know, I want more.
Oh yeah.
And there are definitely things in that match where I'm like, whoa, why didn't he do that? I've seen him do something like that before, but he could have done this and he could have done that. And Austin Aries could have done this and could have done that. And I tell you, there, it just, it's not over, you know, even though the show is NXT, the end, I think it's far from over between those two.
Well, I always forget to say this, but now's a good time to bring it up. But I do notice this about him. He doesn't like to do a lot of jobs. I've noticed that.
Well, you know, maybe it was written in. If you're gonna have me come in and leave my lucrative endorsements and all that from New Japan and merchandising and all that, then by all means, let's make sure that you don't treat me like a you don't treat me like a J-Brone coming into this company. So
a lot of extra money from Bushirod that, you know, I see Okada and Tanahashi still make, and now Naito make a lot of money with. So he did leave, you're right, a lot of extra money behind by leaving Bushirod as well as New Japan.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Speaking of leaving Japan, Asuka versus Nia Jax, in what was, I believe, a very run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-road matchup. I think Nia Jax is still finding her way. I think there's a lot of criticism out there saying that Nia Jax may be too nice or doesn't show that display, that mean streak. And let's remember, Nia has not been wrestling very long. And I thought Nia, I think her mic skills are definitely improving for sure leading up to the match. So kudos to her for her, you know, really getting out of her comfort zone and stepping up in her match build with Asuka. Asuka also stepping up in the English language department, trying to do promos, very limited. But I thought this match was not bad. You gave it what, a 3.5-star match, something like three-star match, something like that?
Definitely not. I would give it. You want to know my exact rating?
Go ahead.
I texted that to you so I would have it on file.
And I was joking when I said that. So.
Oh, good. Okay, I knew. Let's see. What I would say about, I gave it 2.5 stars. What I would say about
it's still not bad.
Hey, by the way, a pay-per-view with a tag match 4 stars and then a singles match 4 stars back to back, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard these matches weren't that really good in the house show loop. Brian Alvarez saw it live and said, boy, this match might be rough. But, you know, I thought it was pretty boring. And then the last minute and a half kicked in pretty good. There were some stiff strikes. Asuka's a lot more stiff than Nakamura in NXT, which I you know, I mean, maybe they just wanted to do that. But she's still one of my favorite wrestlers to watch. This one was probably not as this is one of her worst kind of title defenses, but that's okay. Nia looked okay. And guys, if you think Nia Jax has gone away anytime soon for lack of ability and lack of learning, I have four words for you. The Rock's cousin. Wait, is that three words?
Yeah, if you saw that on Breaking Ground, that you can talk about for sure in regards to Nia Jax. And let's also not forget that Bayley is still in the background, and I believe they are going to be leading up to a killer match come SummerSlam, as Bayley waves goodbye to the NXT roster and waves hello to Raw or SmackDown.
And you know, also, very least. I also needed to apologize for calling Bayley ripe. I think that was also
you can apologize for it, but you can apologize for it, but yeah, all right. So, wow, all right. So moving
I'm
on.
I'm apologizing.
That's good. Moving on. Backstage action. William Regal is giving an interview with our great girl Andrea Marco, and she's back there, and. All of a sudden, Bobby Roode pops up, and Bobby makes a debut over the weekend, right?
Bobby's at the Download Fest with them, but I think he's going to. Well, they have some tapings coming up, and I bet Bobby's inserted. So, you know, I don't want to get on a tangent, although we will eventually. That, you know, they will probably fill up the roster with most of these guys we're talking about, and insert guys like Bobby Roode and. I thought it was a little bit stupid. I mean, Regal could like see behind his back. You know, he wasn't even there. He noted, he felt his presence. I mean, if Regal's character is that he can see people behind him without looking, you know, that's cool too. But
I think the proof is that Andrea choreographed it. So she telegraphed it, and she's like, "Oh, there's someone. I can hear someone behind me." His spider sense is tingling.
Right, but so. Why was he angry when he looked?
He was probably angry that all of a sudden someone was interrupting his promo time.
Okay, Aljon, it's pretty good. It's not bad.
He's like, why is there some production doofus walking while I'm doing an interview with Andrea here? And then all of a sudden, oh, that's why.
It's that old janitor, Mr. McGregor again.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Always interrupting interviews.
It's Mr. McGregor and those dangling keys of his always causing a ruckus. So yeah, here we are.
That's the weirdest thing. Yeah.
Here we have, and here's the thing, the main event, Joe versus Balor in a steel cage for the title. Cage matches are always plotty to me. I'm not a fan of cage matches. I'm just not. I just don't like the pacing of cage matches. Never did like them. This is something new, probably, to you, Steven.
No, I know what you mean. I know.
You know, when I was a kid, it meant, oh, this is awesome. It's spectacle. It's great. But as you get older, you're like, oh, cage matches, it obstructs the view.
Yeah.
It causes the performers to really slow down a lot of the action. There's a lot of selling that's involved, a lot of it. So the pacing is really, really slow. However, this match was not bad. Samoa Joe wins in 13 minutes and 30 seconds.
Why do they always give them such a short amount of time? Am I wrong? It always seems like their matches are 5 minutes shorter than they should be.
Well, probably because, you know, just the pacing, you know, if there's any, you know, we know that they're going to give them, you know, anywhere from maybe 15 minutes for this particular match. And I think they had tried to make room for some of the post-match stuff that they were getting ready to do, but you know, which was fine, whatever. But
well, another near four-star match. So you know, that's three matches hovering or right at or above four stars out of five in a two-hour show, making this a motherfucking awesome. You know, because the other two matches were an Oscar match and then La Sombra's debut. So this was kind of like a motherfucking awesome pay-per-view for me. Mm-hmm. I thought the main event was solid. I know what you mean about cage matches. Like, they did the Rollins title defense against Orton last year in a cage match. I remember thinking, ugh, right away, I was annoyed. I know what you mean about the cage matches. Like, people like Bret Hart versus Owen Hart for SummerSlam 94. I don't get it. I'm like, I'm trying to get out. Oh, I couldn't. I'm trying to get out. I get it, but I don't care.
Yeah, know? I'm just not a fan. But I did enjoy it from start to finish. And like you said, you know, when you have that many high rated matches in a single show, which I believe the show to be a perfect length, perfect amount of people on the card in terms of matches. This was a buy for me. You know how I rate my situation. Will I watch it again or will I not? You know, did I enjoy it? Did I not? And yes, it's a yes on all accounts. I did watch TakeOver again, at least some of the matches I did enjoy. I rewatched. And once again, a great effort on all the superstars and production behind it. Once again, the one thing I like to say that kind of detracted for me is the fans. The fans making all kinds of just chants that just go back and forth for no reason, just is really starting to get on my nerves, folks. It just really is. Why can't they just respond to great spots? Why can't they just respond? Why do they have to hijack the show and make themselves heard? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, the stupid stuff that they do, you know, it's just like, it just is really distracting for me. And as I was intently watching this, it just got worse and worse and worse.
And it's getting worse as the shows go on. Mm-hmm. So they've hijacked the shows. The fans want to be the crowd wants to be the show now, and they figured out a way to do it. So they have they love Nakamura. They love Ty Dillinger. They love American Alpha. They have respect for Joe and Balor. They don't love them, but they respect them. They love Bayley. Like, that's who they like. And then, like, a guy like La Sombra, they're like, what? So you might as well clear it all out and say, hey, motherfucker, it's a whole new crowd of guys. Let's see what you think of these guys, you know? I know it's hard to get into Full Sail. You know, Ryan was talking about it. It's not the easiest thing to get into to watch, but they need to calm down.
So... So we gave the review of the show. Now in our news and commentary section, they're going to get a whole bunch of these guys that were from New Japan and from TNA, right? So you've got all these guys coming over. I mean, what it is the end, but like the end of, and Triple H had said this is the end of the first, you know, real group of people that came in. That started entertaining at NXT.
Right.
So now we're going to have like basically the second generation class, and those people are going to come in. I think the crowd is going to be interesting. They're going to have to start doing new things. And I don't know what's going to happen. Who's going to go over? Who's going to, you know, that crowd is so important, I think, to how these people are going to be received when they go to the main roster. Do you not think?
I think what's important is that they change it completely. I'm just looking at the taping results right here. And, for example, one person I see on here, and he actually has two different matches, is they're calling him Oni Lorcan. I believe it's Biff Busick. He's a fantastic wrestler. I can't wait to see what they what they end up doing with them. But that's the sort of guys I expect to come out and see. Yes, they're going to have the Authors of Pain, and we'll see a lot more guys come out. Probably a lot of them are going to come from Evolve. As far as TNA, I don't really know who they could grab. I mean, you probably should try to get Drew Galloway back. I don't know if there's any heat from that. But I mean, again, like Biff Busick, when I saw he was on the taping twice, when I saw that he had a match with Samoa Joe, yeah, I was really excited. Those are the type of guys I see making an impression. I would really try to get Marty Scurll. I'm going to just say that again. Mm-hmm. This guy's like Will Ospreay, except a great heel. You know, I don't know who they would get from New Japan. New Japan's wrapped up until next January. Now, you may see another sweeping next January from New Japan. That's very, very possible. You might see Rocky Romero and some of those guys come over. And I hear guys say, oh, the Young Bucks are going to be coming, and you know, and Will Ospreay, and that's all very possible. But they have Ring of Honor and you know, whatever contracts. I just wonder if people get it. Like, do you want them to be booked by WWE? Like, obviously NXT is a great show, but do you want Will Ospreay to be booked to lose match after match on Raw? You know, that's what you have to ask yourself. Because at a certain point, having a lot of different federations like right now is kind of similar. I remember the territories, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I remember having AWA, WCCW, NWA, UWF, WWF, and that was awesome. Okay, so now I got WWE, NXT, which is the same but similar, PWG, New Japan, no, you know what I mean? Right. I like having them all over the place. So the idea of raiding and it becoming awesome, well, I would have to have more faith in their writing team to really get with that. If you're asking me what I think they're going to do, I think they're going to take everybody. You got to take Nakamura, Balor, Samoa Joe, Bayley, American Alpha, and a few other people to, they don't, you know, you're talking about cutting Raw's roster in half. Mm-hmm. That show already sucks. How are you going to cut the roster in half, you know?
Well, once again, they're injecting lifeblood, new blood into fresh new matchups, right? That's exactly what they said, which is the line that I used months and months ago. Fresh new matchups. That's what I used before Shane and Stephanie decided doing that with this quote-unquote brand extension. So brand extension, brand split, you know, roster split.
They should call it an extension because if you add that many guys, it's a new roster. It's an extension of the rosters into two. You can't get rid of NXT, though, because NXT is the top-rated show, weekly episodic show, on the network.
Hi. The pay-per-view. Hi, I'm Teddy Long, and I'm going to call this the longest weekly episodic something or other as he blunders the line this past Monday on Raw. I love that. God love Teddy.
That's funny they had Teddy come out and make a tag, man. I'm going to make a tag. Like, they know how funny that is.
Well, he said everything but that at first, and then he ultimately... Sure.
You got to build up.
Yeah, he's building it up. Of course, that goes back to the whole Teddy Long thing that I centered into the show, like the tag team, him just going crazy saying, tag team match.
Didn't he say that we're going to have a match where you can have a disqualification? That was funny. That was like you could be disqualified in this match.
Yes.
That's funny. Now that's funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
But you know, I'm excited. I get the impression we're talking about this, so I might as well bring it up now, even though it's a week and a half after the original conversation. You know, USA is obviously not very happy with their situation as it pertains to cable ratings. So they're number three in cable ratings, whereas they used to be number one in the world of cable, right? But they would be out of the top 10 if it weren't for WWE's ratings coming in. Now, you have to ask yourself, why are they taping these SmackDown? I'm sorry, why are they not taping SmackDown and going live if USA won't give them more money? So this is a make-good situation. So SmackDown had its lowest rating ever on USA the other day, correct? They had a very low rating.
Yes.
I think it was 1.9 million. It was very low.
I'll look it up, but go ahead.
So I'm thinking that they had the idea to bring Shane back, do the extension, have him beat The Undertaker. And the only thing that went wrong is that The Undertaker wouldn't do the job. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's the only thing that went wrong here. And I think he's just, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. I mean, he kind of fucked up the whole storyline, right? By not jobbing him.
Yeah. I'll simply say this. Here you go. So SmackDown TV falls to an all new low.
All right. Sandbagging before the transition.
And this is actually provided by James Caldwell. He writes this up for us. It's record low, 1.51 TV rating, down from 1.59 from last week.
Light.
SmackDown drew fewer than 2 million viewers, registering at 1.996 million viewers, one of the smallest audiences in SmackDown history.
Yeah, so that's technically right under 2 million. I know it's only by like 40,000 people, but still, you know, these are signs. And I'm telling you right now, and you bet me 50 grand for some reason, but I'm telling you right now, and I'm bringing it up again, Raw is going to go to 1.9 this year, and it might actually be really soon. So I'm holding steady to that claim because they hit 2.1 2 weeks ago. I mean, they're getting there.
And here's the problem we have. Okay. Yeah. So now that's the reality. And here's the problem. The problem is programming. You have a 3-hour program. Have a PG program where they're already, you know, and they're doing PG to attract advertisers, family friendly advertisers that has a lot of money to spend. You know, you've got your Subway shops, you've got your fast food restaurants, your candy, your soft drinks, all that stuff that their cereal that covers children. Right. So that's fine and good for 2 hours. And the reason, and of course, you have the third hour. The third hour usually is nighttime dramas geared toward adults. Right. And they're not transitioning the PG product to a more edgier product. Could they possibly do that and have an edgier product in the last hour? I don't know, because you have the same, the thread is completely different. The threads are the threads are different. The storytelling would have to shift because you have to lead off with something. You have to kind of prop up the second hour. And then the third hour, you're supposed, you know, you're losing people. Your core demographic anyway of children are not going to be up that late after that hour anyway, right? Typically speaking, that's usually how it works. So who is your audience left? You're not going to have your adults tune in, you know, keep interest or at least tune in for live programming past that third hour. That is the crux of the problem, Stephen. Do you understand that's the problem? And USA has a problem because they cannot be competitive because they don't have a more edgier product in the third hour to hold adult audiences. Everything else is that way. That's why their network is not where it needs to be in the ratings, because look at all of the number one dramas that are out there. There are edgy shows like The Walking Dead. They're being put in prime time and they're edgy. They speak to adults, right?
Yeah.
And they sure as hell are not selling candy and toys and plush dolls during The Walking Dead. Hell no. Those are so hot. And then they have other shows that are edgy shows that are either lead in or post that show. And you can see the same thing for AMC. You can say the same thing for other network, you know, shows. A&E, same thing happens. But for a network like USA, when they were in their heyday, the WWE spoke to those Attitude Era edgy programming. That's where the adult audiences were captivated. That's where they had things happen. The first hour of Raw, like Nitro, was definitely a kids type of, you know, not kids, but it was a more family friendly hour. Moving into Raw at 2 hours, and all of a sudden Raw was like super, super hot.
Right.
It's all in programming. It's their demographic, and your demographic doesn't watch shows in the third 9 o'clock hour geared to G-rated, PG-rated stuff. They just don't do it. You got your highest ratings when The Rock and Cena were battling it out, and all of a sudden they were really talking like adults. And I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Jim Ross on his podcast saying something to the effect of, in a PG product, how can you possibly talk like an adult? You can't. If a man has a beef with another man, as they talk to each other, they're not talking to each other in nursery rhymes.
Right.
They're talking to each other like real men talk, and real men cannot talk the way real men talk in a PG environment.
The average Raw viewer's age is 40. That's actually the thing. Mm-hmm. So why are they trying to draw the kids?
That's the question, right? That's the $1 million question. And as they say, putting smiles on people's faces.
Well, it's the hook 'em young theory. Like, I'll get you smoking young and you'll smoke forever, you know, kind of thing with the cigarette companies. It's the same thing. And I mean, you talk to anybody. Man, I remember when Ultimate Warrior pinned Toomey posted that on my wall. He's like, mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior pinning Macho Man with one foot. He remembers that because they hooked him young. And he looks now and he's like, what is this crap, you know? But the point is, they get you at some point. You have these good memories, and that's what they still try to create. And I think McMahon, in his older mentality of thinking, you know, time has passed him by now, and it's going to happen inevitably to anybody. I mean, the man's just hit that point, and you know, just the way he kind of shoves Reigns really hard despite the crowd reactions, will he give up on that? I don't know, but they have a problem if USA decides to go a different direction with their network completely. If US, you know, what happened to WCW is they had new owners come in and new people in charge of programming and say, we want to go Turner Classic style more than this shit like it used to be. You know, we want to win some Emmy Awards and we're just going to get rid of it. If USA decided we have to go a different direction, let's get rid of Raw, then they would have a problem, because if they don't have Raw and the amount of money they get from those rights fees, they're in the red. That's the fact of the matter. So to go back to 12 minutes ago, they have to do this. They are forced to do a brand split to try to make USA happy, to try to prop up USA. They're propping up each other, you know, for ratings. And it has nothing to do with advertising. It's just the rate. I mean, it all does. But the point is, it's about having the ratings higher to get the advertisers for the network for a different show, because they don't want to be in wrestling. But this is a number 3 rated network, you know, not 11, which is probably what they would be. So they have to stop going down. They have to go up. SmackDown can't continue to go down. Raw can't continue to trend downward. They have to at least level off and go up. Even if they went up a little bit, it would be a huge victory in the situation.
And so, this is all going down during the summer, which is historically the softest part of the viewing year. for it any is, network.
But you know, once football kicks in, they have problems going against that. Look, I'll tell you this, buddy. This Golden State Warriors team, they're gonna win the NBA Finals on Monday night in California. Yeah. Look out.
Yeah, ratings are gonna be rough. It's really gonna be rough in hell. I might be watching that game myself. You never know. But I tell you, this is an interesting time, a very telling time in professional wrestling history, where the competition isn't Ted Turner. You know, yeah, it's once again, they are competing with all forms of entertainment. And a lot of people are also asking, Aljon, why is it that they can't book Raw like NXT? Well, NXT is a different. The people that subscribe to the network and that watch NXT are a little bit, you know, they're a little bit different than the casual audience that tunes in for Raw. Hardcore audiences will be there regardless, but, you know.
It's a 1 million to 3 million thing, Margaret was saying. 1 million watch the network, 3 million watch Raw.
Yeah.
It's a 1 to 3.
Yeah, it's skewed differently, folks. You know, and just really quick on a different note, and this is great stuff, Stephen. Thank you for that analysis. But also interesting was Stephanie McMahon. You know, she's on vacation. Teddy comes in, causing a little bit of a ruckus. Stephanie turns out that she's showing a little bit of her color, stealing Teddy's ideas, and some of that old Steph McMahon that we know and love, the crazy witch. She's back, so I think she's definitely she's got some tendencies, and she kind of played her hand a little bit for the cameras, which I think is going to be a very telltale sign that Stephanie, when Shane's around, Stephanie's going to play nice, and when she's not around, she's going to go back to her old ways. She has not changed, folks.
That's true. Hey, I got to say something else. That women's segment was just, they write such garbage sometimes. The Charlotte, Bliss, Natalia, and that Becky Lynch. She has to work on that hair, man. That's really bad.
You don't like her hair? I like Becky's new hair. The strawberry blonde, I like it.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I like Becky Lynch anyway, but maybe I'm just playing my hand.
And I don't like the way she talks. I don't like her.
Her accent?
I don't like her dialect. Yeah, I don't like it.
She does talk. I mean, she probably needs to slow down her speech a little bit in order for people to understand her a little bit better.
That just comes
from me. And you know, when I would teach, I used to teach broadcasting. And when I would teach broadcasting, I would make sure to tell people, hey, look, you know, your Southern accent or your Northern accent, you need to kind of get to a more regional dialect, which, by the way, I do applaud AJ Styles because I believe he's working on his accent, and a lot of that Southern draw is being diminished slowly. You know, can you hear that? I can hear the difference between TNA AJ Styles from, you know, back in the day versus now. I think he's really trying hard to work on that accent.
Do you think the janitor, old man McGregor from NXT, is actually her dad? I'm sorry.
It could be. That's a good one. Okay, so I don't know where we're at right now in the program.
Raw is still being written very suspiciously bad.
Well,
you know, they need to clear that up. They have a really interesting interview with the writer Brian Gerwitz on Chris Jericho's podcast. I think everyone should listen to that and see a little bit about what it's like for writers to come in and kind of what it was like back in 2001 and 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, kind of moving forward. I don't blame it on the writers. I mean, they suck, a lot of them, but they're just TV writers. You know, you have to put this, I just really think Vince McMahon's out of touch, and that's the reason for all of this strange shit. But there's just so many good things going on with it that it doesn't matter. And it kind of evens itself out. NXT's great. AJ's doing great main events. You got Sami Zayn on TV. You know, all of this great stuff, too.
Well, there's still good wrestling to be had. If you're a wrestling, you want the work. It's just a shame that some of you have to sit through this, some of this bad acting, some of this bad writing to get from point A to point B. And
Alexa Bliss is really bad.
Oh, no, that's not Alexa Bliss on the main roster, my friend. That would be, son of a whore. Now I'm having a problem. I can't remember. Yes.
I know it is. She's kind of fat.
Oh, my God, no. You know what? No, I like her. She was also in Breaking Ground.
I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, I know. I know you are. She, well, the thing is, she has implants, and I think that probably throws you off.
Ugh. Here, let me.
She's not natural.
I don't know. What's her name? It's not Alexa Bliss?
No, Alexa Bliss is not. Alexa Bliss is natural. I'll tell you that.
Hold on. Let me ask my wife. Hey, what's that gal's name we were watching? She's friends with Charlotte. No.
That would be Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke.
Oh. I like Dana. I didn't. You remember? Okay, so a year ago, I said I'm not really high on Dana Brooke. I am now. I do like her. It's not her fault. It's not her fault, because when she was in NXT and when she was with Emma, that's some good stuff. And I think I like Dana. And
Who's Alexa Bliss? Who's that?
Alexa Bliss used to be with Blake and Murphy.
I thought, okay. Well, you know, Will Ospreay will talk about her for 15 minutes, and I don't even know who that girl is. That's what's funny about that show. You know, I just, I have a real disconnect if you're not an wrestler. And I'm sorry,
that is an issue, because there's a lot of blonde going on these days, and
poor Charlotte's out there like botching shit, you know, and she gets so rattled. I said it before. She's great. She's a great athlete. She can do a great promo, and she does great matches. She has done great matches, and she's come a long way for that division. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want to be a wrestler. This is about her brother.
Maybe she's too into. She's letting it get into her head too much. I'll quickly mention this. I think it was also interesting that John Cena slipped and said Bullet Club in the middle of his promo with AJ Styles.
That was cute. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Wait, I guess
WWE owns the name the Bullet Club now.
No, they don't. Luke Gallows even mentioned it in a recent article talking about being edgy and why they decided to go with the club.
Well, that's edgy.
What I don't understand is why didn't they? I have a good name for the Bullet Club.
Instead
of calling it just the club or even Balor Club, just call it the Battle Club, and I think it would be a lot better. It is
PG.
The Battle Club. Yeah.
How about we just not worry about naming something with club? I mean, I think.
Well, how about that?
I think that's what they've done wrong, honestly.
I think they should have given it a new name. Yeah. But they say that, you know, they don't want to have the Bullet connotation, you know, on the PGTV, which is something I've said before. And this is Luke Gallows talking about it. And also, he mentions in a recent article about how Scott Hall and Kevin Nash gave them the approval to continue on with the NWO black and white theme and the two sweet and all that stuff. So that's really sweet of them to do that.
They can say whatever they want or make him say whatever they want him to say, but they couldn't get the name, you know, and that's reality, you know. They
really quick. As TNA Slammiversary is happening later today, we record this on a Sunday, the 12th.
Oh my God, are we going to talk about that?
It should. Well, I mean, we can talk about our picks for Slammiversary if you want.
Pick. Who's wrestling?
Oh, well, I'll tell you who's wrestling. Shera versus Grado versus the Tribunal with Al Snow.
The Sheriff versus
and Grado versus the Tribunal with Al
Snow. I'm going to say, what's a four-way match?
No, it's a tag match.
Okay.
It's a tag team match.
And who are they? Let's move on to the next match.
The Sheriff
wins in 5 minutes.
I say the Tribunal wins. X Division title match, Trevor Lee versus Eddie Edwards versus DJ Zima and Andrew Everett.
Andrew Everett's awesome. I do want to say that. Andrew Everett's very, very awesome. So I hope he wins that match.
Okay. Versus, I'm going to go with Eddie Edwards. Let's do something different.
He's also very good. Yeah.
Let's do something different. King of the Mountain match, which I hate.
King of the Mountain match. They do that still?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's a King of the Mountain title match. I'm sorry. It's just a title.
Oh, I see.
Eli Drake versus Bram.
Oh, wow.
I'll say Bram goes over.
I have no idea what to say. I guess Bram wins.
Okay, tag team title match. Decay, which is Crazy Steve versus Abyss.
Crazy Steve and Abyss
versus the bromance of Robbie E., Jesse, and Raquel.
Well, I hate that Robbie E., so let's hope that Decay wins. They actually have a pretty neat little gimmick. I like their little gimmick. They're pretty cool.
It looks like the Gail Kim-Maria Kanellis match might be out for some reason.
I believe it is. She's hurt. Maria is hurt and actually not a wrestler. So.
Yeah, but has done some stuff. I think she had something wrong with her or something.
She's going to do the match. I think she hurt her ankle. I could have sworn.
Was her ankle? Okay.
Yeah.
Jade versus Sienna for the Knockouts match. I guess I would say that Jade will overcome the newcomer in Sienna.
And not a big Jade fan, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, she's got the title, so it's all good.
She does. She does.
She does. She does look pretty hot, though, for an Asian. I can say that. Even Carter III versus Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett might be on that.
I think you need to put over Mike Bennett, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, considering you pay him that much money. Hardy versus Hardy. Hardy versus Hardy in a Full Metal Mayhem. This is your favorite of all, especially with the video package leading into this.
I would rather them do an 18-minute video package continuing the storyline.
They may do that. They may do that.
This is where they cut all my skin off of. Did I ever show you that? There's all my skin.
Oh, nice, nice,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
nice. Battle win.
Get better? Go ahead.
You think Jeff Hardy?
Oh, I don't care. I just want them to do more video packages.
Okay.
They'll do a bunch of spectacular ladder spots. They'll probably get hurt. His hair will look crazy. I don't know. They scare me. These kids scare me.
World title match, Galloway versus Bobby Lashley in a tap out or knockout match.
That'll probably be a really good match. I think Galloway will win. That'll be a good match.
Good deal. All right. So we'll see what happens after tonight. I think that's pretty much all, other than I think Ring of Honor just announced a Women of Honor show in Baltimore, Friday 8th in Baltimore.
They're doing a Women of Honor show. That is correct.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, that should be really interesting.
Some of our favorite former Knockouts and former WWE stars will be there. Kenani Brink, Sumari Sakai, Faye Jackson, Jenny Rose, Kelly Klein, Solo Darling, Crazy Mary Dobson, Deanna Purrazzo, Mandy Leon, Tyler Hendricks, Veda Scott, and Amber Gallows.
That's a lot of good wrestlers, actually. So
yeah, including Luke Gallows' wife. So there you go.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. So I'm like, down with that.
I'd like to bring up Evolve 62 from last night's.
Oh yes, do ahead.
Go
ahead.
Drew Galloway and EC3. Now here's Drew Galloway and Ethan Carter, who I just couldn't give a shit about less on Slammiversary, doing another match and actually being really interested in. So that should tell you what TNA's at. And their main event was Johnny Gargano, TJ Perkins. I haven't seen it yet.
Apparently
they did a match. They went into a, you know, they went to all these different areas outside the arena and stuff. But at the end, in the post-match, Galloway and Carter revealed that the new member of their crew is Cody Rhodes.
I love it. I love it. Definitely check it out. And it's interesting times because Evolve and their close relationship to WWE and a talent lending in some circumstances, especially when it comes to the cruiserweight tournament that they have going on. So this is going to be one to watch for sure.
Evolve's really interesting right now. You know, they have so many tie-ins. And I heard a guy say this on Twitter. I'll just repeat it like I said it. But the idea that they have TNA's main eventers on their show with all these WWE guys and their own Evolve guys doing an angle, it's almost akin to a snuff film, what's happening to TNA now. It's just brutal. It's just brutal.
This has been This Week in Wrestling News. There has been a lot of it recently. Once again, feel free to chime in on social media and follow us once again at P Wrestling Cast, also Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. You can follow me, Mr. Aljon Go, on Jedi Mouseketeer, also Aljon Rocks, if you like a lot of music and other types of tweets from me. Steven, where can you be found on Twitter?
Dr. Death Mark. At Dr. Death Mark.
And check that out for sure. Any closing words before we leave you with some immortal words from Mr. Stone Cold, Steve Austin?
Hard times. I'm talking about, you know what dark times are, Aljon? Dark times are when you've been working at a factory for 20 years, and one day you fall into the machinery at work and you die, okay? And then your parents bring you back from the dead in the monkey's paw. Your mutilated corpse rises from the grave. You knock on their door and you say, hey, I'm still alive, Daddy. That's dark times.
Wow, that is better than any promo I've ever heard.
I just got really upset at him. I don't like people talking about. I'm sorry. Did I sound upset? I was doing just so slightly, good.
Just slightly. Just
my
slightly.
Wife is literally praying in the corner.
On that note, let's go ahead and put a nail in this show, and then we'll resume brighter times.
Baby.
Don't forget, check out ProWrestlingCast.com. You can also check out our brand new friends over there at T-Blocks, so you can subscribe and get T-shirts from any geek type of related geekery delivered to your door every month for $9.99. Go ahead and subscribe to that. Click on our T-Blocks banner, will you? Over there at ProWrestlingCast.com, as well as our links to Amazon, WWE, WWE Network, WWE Shop, and HighSpots.com, as well as Amazon. Support this show.
I was doing support, so good.
Support this show. Don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bonkwinkle for life.
And for life.
For life and into the darkness. No, let's not. And in the meantime,
what's wrong with you?
We'll see.
It's dark time, Teddy.
We'll see you next week. Stone Cold Steve Austin, promo of the week. See ya.
Promo of the week.
The decision was actually made earlier in the week. Consequently, the WWF dispatched a camera crew deep in the heart of Texas.
What the hell do you guys want? And more important than that, how the hell did you find out where I was at?
We'd like to get your comments on the suspension.
You want me to comment on my suspension? You don't look like Jim Ross unless you lost about 200 pounds. You don't look like Vince McMahon. If they want some answers, they should have sent someone some authority. Don't be snapping no pictures. I'll take your little lens and shove it. You know what I'm talking about? You ain't got no reason to be here, man. You need to pack up and head back to Stanford, boy. You ain't got no business being here. You damn right. You better stop it. You got anything else to say? Because there ain't no reason you should be here. They suspended me. They said I can't wrestle. Now they want to send someone down here on my time. And that's bullshit in my book. Do you agree with me? Well, it really don't matter if you agree with me or not. So what you need to do is pack your little carcass up and get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my time. They suspend me and then they send you down here. You're some private detective or something? That's bullshit. Oh, let me tell you something. On second thought, once you just sit your little carcass down at that table, I'll answer every little question you got. Because if you're going to waste all your time coming down here and bother me, yeah, I'll sit down and talk with you. Because I got a few little things I want to show you, a little care package Vince McMahon and the WWF sent me to get well soon. So you just go down there and sit down, I'll round my stuff up, and I'll be right with you. But don't touch nothing that don't belong to you and stick it in your grubby little pocket, because I'll whip the hell out of you, son. I'll be right out. Yes, I'm coming over here. You're done with you look. Before we get started with anything, like I said, we're on my time, so we're going to do things like I want to do them. I want to cover something right off the bat. It's a little care package that the WWF sent old Stone Cold. Dump it to get well soon. The biggest bunch of bull I ever heard. Did you get some camera work here on there? Best wishes, Jim. He couldn't even spell his own last name or he'd have put it on there, wouldn't he? Get better soon, champ. Vince. Yeah, piss off, Vince. Get well, Gorilla Monsoon. Yeah, right, Gorilla. Oh, and Art. See, no one signed these pictures. I ain't no handwriting expert, I ain't no private detective, but the same person wrote every single one of those signatures because the office don't give a damn how Stone Cold's doing, and that's the bottom line. Ricky, come over here, man. Put all these pictures, strap them on that deer over there. We're having a little target practice, and you put Owen Hart's picture right there on the deer's ass because that's exactly where it belongs. Hell, go do it. Please go do it. I gotta have something to shoot at because I'm getting a little pissed off here. Because what they did, they took everything Stone Cold has been fighting for away from him. The office suspends me. Why would you suspend Stone Cold Steve Austin when I didn't do nothing wrong? You sit there like you bump on a log. Hell, it's pathetic because what the WWF has done has kept me at home. I should be on the road each and every night defending the IC title, but no, I'm sitting on my ass because I've been suspended. I'm willing to wrestle any day of the week. Hell, I'll wrestle your ass right now. All you gotta do is go put on some tights and just stay like that. I'll wrestle you when I get through talking to this guy. But the office pisses me off because they're trying to save their ass. They sent that little package to save their ass. They say, oh, we don't want Steve to sue us. We don't want him to own the WWF. The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world. As far as Owen Hart is concerned, I'm going to get my damn payback on hell because everybody knows paybacks are hell. And when you dump Steve Austin on his damn head, you got another thing coming. Ricky, hold your damn mouth. I just want to do a little target practice here. Oh, you got some time, don't you? Because you're on my time. You want to know what I do in my damn spare time. Hell, conditions are windy here. Look at Vince McMahon right there in the old kill zone. The brains of the WWF. Hell, I call him the ass of the WWF. But Owen Hart's presently got that spot occupied. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah, how you doing, Vince? Oh, you piece of trash. Give me another arrow, Ricky. I'm hot. I'm on fire. Look at Jim Ross. Can you get a close-up of that picture of Jim Ross? Hell, he don't know his head from a hole in the ground. He ain't got a clue. There he is with hands up in the air. Get well, Jim. He couldn't even spell his last name. That's how bad he sucks. Oh, right there in the old privates. Give me another arrow, Ricky. I'm on fire. Gorilla Monsoon, the biggest jackass in the WWF. He calls himself a gorilla, but he hauls like a jackass. I said it before, I'll say it again. Got your little dark cloudy glasses on. There you go, gorilla. Oh, right there in his damn heart. He's got such a come on down here because, like I said, Owen Hart's pitch is right there on the old deer's ass, and that's where we're headed. Watch that step, it's a doozy, and if you fall, I'll beat that out of you. Come on over here, boy. Drag your little camera over here. It's the last shot of the day. Hell to take us from close range. Owen Hart holds up his little slammy like he's some kind of big shot. He's the biggest piece of crap I ever laid my eyes on. And if he was here in person, I'd put about a dozen arrows right through his ass. There you go, Owen, you piece of shit. Oh, right there in the gizzard, brother. He ain't gonna last long because Stone Cold's on fire. And the bottom line is, whether you come here to my house, whether you go to ground zero, Stone Cold is gonna be at ground zero, and that's the bottom line. Ain't no way that they can keep me out of it. Come here to forfeit the belts, the biggest bunch of BS I ever heard of in my life. I'll give up the tag titles if I want to, but the bottom line is the Intercontinental belt is gold to me, and they can't take it from me, and that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this shit's over with, so get the hell out of here.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.